you are a WMD. Show those guns. Spiros is just showing his guns. He says, yeah, that's right. I'm a weapon of mass destruction. So that's the title of my message, a weapon of mass destruction. Ephesians chapter 6, right? I said that, verse 12. All right, let me read it. We'll go back because that was our beginning scripture from the very beginning. So let me read it. Let me get it here. Hold on. Verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we began everything by saying that our battle is not necessarily physical. Our battle is ultimately spiritual. Okay? Everything we are going through now, if you take a look and you sit back and analyze what's going on around the world, it seems as if all the spiritual forces of darkness and wickedness have come together and united. And one of the things I said is that it's come together and united, but it has also come together to divide us. And specifically as it comes to political parties. If you're a Republican, you believe this. If you're a Democrat, you believe that. And there's this sharp division between the two parties. So much so that the devil has cunningly taken topics like abortion and made it a political issue. Like if you're a Democrat, you're pro-choice just by default, right? This is just what they say, right? If you are pro-life, you're Republican by default. And so the devil has taken that and make it a political issue when abortion is a spiritual issue. Amen. We can't put it in a pocket of a party. We at the church need to remove it and say, no, this is spiritual. Because you can be a Democrat and be pro-life. And I know a lot of Republicans that are pro-choice. And so, but the devil made it so that, you know, well, you're a Democrat, you're pro-life, I hate you. I'm your pro-choice, I'm not your friend. And so he's dividing us. And it shouldn't be that way. This is a spiritual issue. The things, and John and I have had a lot of conversations on this and end time stuff. And I said, it seems to me like politics has become the new religion. People have faith in a party or a person rather than in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we, the church, don't need to get involved in that. I'm not saying don't vote or anything like that. I'm saying don't put yourself in a divided place in a group that now you are stigmatized and you treat people according to their political party. Okay? Our battle is not that. Our battle is spiritual. And so we went through all that, and I talked about the church. The church is God's government on the earth, right? Matthew 16:18, the church has the power to legislate, has the power to bind and loose. In the Hebrew concept is to permit or prohibit things on this earth. Because Jesus said, heaven backs you up when you do this. In other words, and I'll say it a little different way, yikes, that easy. I'll say it this way, is that what we do on the earth physically also affects the spiritual world. Now write this down. You live in two worlds. Whether you like it or not, you live in two worlds. You live in a physical world and a spiritual world. And notice here Paul says that we don't wrestle against the physical world. We're actually wrestling against the spiritual world. And a lot of Christians don't see that, don't realize that you're living in two worlds, and because of that, these two worlds, they operate differently. In order for you to fix the physical world, you have to deal with it in the spiritual world. It's how you got to deal with it. Remember when Peter was messing with Jesus? Jesus turned around and said, right? Satan. He didn't say to Peter. He didn't talk to Peter. He said, Satan, get thee behind me. In other words, Peter Listen what it looked, Satan was actually using Peter to get in front of Jesus, not to go to the cross. And Jesus recognized, it's not Peter, my wrestle is against flesh and blood. And he said, you get behind me. You ain't blocking my path. I'm moving forward and you get behind me. Don't even think about getting in front of me and stopping me from what I have to do. You can't stop me from fulfilling the plan of God for my life. I'm going to that cross, and Satan, you are not getting in front of me. Get thee behind me. And that's how you need to treat the devil and spiritual things. When you see a roadblock in your life, you need to go, Satan, get thee behind me. It's not the person that's stopping you. It's not an organization that's stopping you. It's not the Republican Party or the Democrat Party or the president or Nancy Pelosi. There's something spiritual going on, and you need to go, no, you get behind me. Yes. Pretty good so far? Yes. So we need to learn how to deal with things in a spiritual realm. Notice here Paul is saying that there is spiritual activity going on. Amen. So whether you know it or not, there is a symbiotic relationship between the spiritual world and the physical world. Go to Romans chapter 1. Those two work together. God ordained heaven and earth to work together. Remember, you know, that kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. They're supposed to work together. So what happens there is supposed to happen here. And guess who's supposed to make it happen here? Just look at yourself in the mirror. Point to yourself. We're supposed to make it happen here. Anyway. All right. What did I say? Romans chapter 1? Praise Jesus. Buckle up. This is going to be a good one. You, when you leave today, you will be a weapon of mass destruction. Woo! Okay, so Romans chapter 1, look at what it says in verse 19. It says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, watch this, his invisible, God is invisible. Do you know that? God is invisible. At Colossians says he's invisible. All right, anyway. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. So we see, this is how we see invisible things. God said, Paul says that how you see invisible things, how you see whatever. Here, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, and his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So when Jesus showed up, the Bible says in Colossians that he is the image of the invisible God. He is. So how did we see God the Father? By seeing Jesus. And it says that if we look around us in the world, that we could see God's invisible attributes by what we see physically with the eye. For example, the sun, right? The sun gives us heat, gives us light. Right? We circle around the sun, unless you're a flat earth person, we'll talk later. We circle around the sun, right? The center, he is the sun of righteousness, right? So the sun is clearly an attribute of the invisible God. Good? That's how we understand God the Father or God himself by the physical things we see here on the earth, because the two relate. In other words, for God to do something physically, he has to do it spiritually. It all begins in the spirit world. The two work together. Good? Okay. Genesis chapter 1. All right, let's rock and roll. Huh? I can't hear. What? Plow your way through. Let's plow our way through. Yes, thank you, brother. Genesis chapter 1. Let's rock and roll now with this. Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at the very beginning. Now, you know when it says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, there was also a Genesis chapter 1, verse 0. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. There was a verse 0, which is just God. because he was before everything, right? He always existed. So there's always, just write down, there's a verse zero, God. That's it. Okay. So notice here it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So let me break this second scripture, the second verse down for you a little bit. There's two words in there. One is tohu, one is bohu, right? When it says that the earth was without form and void, that's tohu, and darkness was on the face of the deep, that's bohu. So the two words in the Hebrew, it doesn't, there's no passive, causative tense. There's no passive tense, so it's just a causative tense. In other words, the literal Hebrew says the earth became form, without form and void, and darkness came on the face of the waters. So it implies that something happened. Okay? So let me say it this way. The word void and without form, it literally means a wasteland or a place that was ruined and destroyed. That's what it literally means in the Hebrew. So if we read it again, it says that the earth became a desolate wasteland, a desert, and became in ruins. So the earth turned into ruins. It was destroyed, right? And then God wrapped it in ice. Praise the Lord. There was darkness when there's water. He says the face of the deep, it's ice, right? The ice age. So let me say it a little different. Notice here, God looked down at the earth, and it became a disaster. This is way back when. It was destroyed. It was in ruins. Good? What God does is he commissions the Holy Spirit to fix it. Write this down. God can fix any mess you create. Amen. He actually specializes in fixing our messes. That's his specialty. If you don't believe me, think of what he did on the cross. Amen. He fixed a whole human race that was totally desolate, destroyed, dead, and going to hell. And he fixed it with his son. Amen. He specializes in turning things around. He's a turnaround specialist. So I don't know what you're going through this morning. You may think it's done and over and done with. No, God's about to turn some things around. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Yes. And he showed us really clearly here how he does it. Yes. So, ready? You're buckled up? Yes, okay, so the earth is destroyed. It's in ruins. It's a desert wasteland. Watch how God fixes it. He said something. Then God said, light be. It may seem as if, well, what do you mean? I mean, a whole bunch of stuff is going on. Blah, blah, blah. Nope. Something came out of God's mouth. Words came out of God's mouth that totally fixed and restored the earth. God opened up his mouth and said something. God opened up his mouth and said, light be. How did God create everything? With his mouth. So if everything that was created by words, then everything that was created can also be changed by words. Remember when Jesus said this, he said in Mark 11:23, whoever speaks to this mountain and believes in his heart, right? And say, cast into the sea, and shall believe in his heart, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in the heart, the things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Jesus said this, your mountain will respond to your words. How in the world does a mountain respond to words? Because a mountain was created by words. So the very substance that created the thing is the very substance that'll change the thing. I'm getting to where you're going to be a weapon of mass destruction. Trust me. So I'll say it again. So Jesus said that your words, that your mountain will respond to your words because the mountains were created by words.
Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Important to understand that. So this means that the way... Now let me ask you this. Can you see words? No, you can't. They're invisible. Write this down. Words are spiritual. Words are spiritual. So how did the invisible God fix the physical world? He spoke from the invisible, from the spiritual realm, and it affected the physical world. So how do you fix a physical thing in your life? You speak to it from a spiritual realm. Now, anyway, all right, good? That's how things change. How did Jesus deal with the demon spirit? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." How did Paul deal with the lady, the spirit, with the divination that bothered him for 3 days? He said, "Come out of her." How did Jesus deal with the legion of devils inside that person? He said, "Get out and get over there." He spoke, he spoke, he spoke, he spoke. How did God forgive us? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, this act that I'm doing, I'm asking you to forgive them. If Jesus never opened his mouth, we would never be forgiven. Listen, he said, this act is for them. I'm attaching my words, God, Father, my words, this act with them.
Amen.
He could have said, Father, forgive me. No, he didn't. He said, Father, forgive them. So this act is for them. I'm a substitute for them. Listen, I'm speaking on their behalf. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. God creates Adam and Eve, right? In verse 120, Genesis 1:26, he said, "And God made man in his image and his likeness," correct? And he did this, and he's given them dominion and authority. Good with that? He says, "I create man in image, in my image and likeness, and I've given them dominion and authority over everything I've created." So God made us as much as close to God as he could make us without us being God. You're not God, but you're as close to God as anything ever created. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. You're the best he has ever created. He will never create anything better than you, except for Jesus, of course. But he didn't create Jesus. You know what I mean? Everybody with me so far? And he says this, he says, "And I'm putting you on earth, and I'm going to put my dominion and authority in your words." Genesis 2:7. Watch this. Genesis 2:7. He says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." John Wycliffe said this. The language, he's a theologian years ago, the language of Scripture does not necessarily suggest that we bear God's physical resemblance, but it definitely suggests that God made us with his spiritual power. In other words, we have the same spiritual power that God had. That's what John Wycliffe said that back in the 1700s. When was John Wycliffe? Brian, do you know?
Not sure.
Okay. Years ago. Interesting that when God put us here, he said, you need dominion and authority. And he breathed into us. And one Hebrew scholar said this, is that when God breathed into us, he made man a speaking spirit. Interesting, 4,000 years later, when Jesus is ascended, he's going up into heaven, he said this, he said, "You wait around here till you receive power."
Amen.
I got to give you the power back that you lost in the garden. You need the same spiritual power. Good? Watch this. Ready? So God's breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And notice what he does next. Before man does, and the very first act that he has man do is name the animals. Speak. In other words, speak, Adam, speak. Now, who did the animals belong to? God. But God said, you name them and you'll have authority over them. You speak over them because now, ready? You speak on my behalf. Amen. Whether you know it or not, God has ordained you to speak on his behalf. You are on this earth to speak on his behalf. How many times in the Old Testament does he say, Son of man, say. Son of man, speak. Son of man, prophesy. Because man was created to speak on behalf of God, the words of God. Listen, birds speak, right? But they don't speak on behalf of God. Dogs speak, cats speak, meow, meow, feed me. But they don't speak on God's behalf. You, man, are the only ones that are created to speak on God's behalf. Amen. Amen. You are a weapon of mass destruction. Okay, ready? Matthew chapter 8. We're getting there. You good so far? You learn anything? You should start rethinking every word you ever said. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It says, now, are you there? Matthew 8, verse 5. Oh, you lost it. Don't worry about it. It was made in China. Okay. Here we go again. All right. Matthew 8, verse 5. The computer, it's messing up. All right, verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. God bless you. Again? And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Right? You see that? A centurion is a Roman soldier, a Roman, like a sergeant. He's a big-time guy. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only... Say that again. Say it again. Speak a word. And my servant will be healed. For I also... Watch this. I also am a man under authority. Do you notice that? He said, thank you, Sharon. Words carry God's authority. When God spoke, light be, the power that was his authority, the Holy Spirit was his power. The Holy Spirit was the ability. So when you speak God's word, the Holy Spirit backs it up. He's the power behind it. Amen. Let me say this. Ready? If the Holy Spirit is not backing up what you're saying, it's because he doesn't like what you're saying. If you're not seeing transformation with the words you're speaking, it's because the Holy Spirit does not agree with what you're speaking. Mic drop. I could go home or take up a second offering. That was really good. If the Holy Spirit is not anointing your mouth, it's because he doesn't agree with what's coming out of it. If what you're saying is not coming to pass, it's because the Holy Spirit is not agreeing with what you're saying. You need to change what you're saying. Didn't he say he'll confirm his word with signs and wonders following? I don't know where to go from there. That's shouting. Those are shouting words, buddy. Let me say this. There are things that you need to stop praying about because they came into your life, not through prayer, but by your mouth. There are things that have come into your life because you spoke them into your life, and you're trying to pray them out of your life. Should I say it a different way? There are things that are wrong in your life, and you're trying to get rid of them through prayer, when that's not how they got there. They got there because of your mouth, and the only way out is through your mouth. You invited them in your life through your mouth, and the only way out of your life is through your mouth. You've been praying and praying and praying. Nothing's changing. It's because your prayer is not going to change this. Your mouth brought it in. Your mouth needs to get rid of it. Isn't it interesting how James in chapter 3 says this? How in the world does a blessing and a cursing come out of the same mouth? It doesn't work. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing? My brethren, these things, what? Ought not to be. Next verse. Look at that. It obeys my words. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Next verse. Can a fig tree, brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Next verse. I think you're getting it, right? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. In other words, you're praying for wisdom, and at the same time, you're all confused. Lord, I believe I have the wisdom of God. Lord, you said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask about it, and give it a brain not. But I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Well, how in the world are you confused and wisdom at the same time? He said, let the weak say, you can't say, I'm strong, but man, I'm just feeling lousy right now. You negate. Hey, man, I love you, but I hate that guy. How does that happen? He said, you can't do that. Proverbs 18:21. I'm going to prove everything I just said. Listen, the reason why things are so bad in your life is because your mouth is a weapon of mass destruction. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the, underline that word, power. What kind of power? Holy Ghost power, destructive power, dynamite power, power that changes things, blows things up. You can blow up somebody's ego, esteem, their whole life by one lousy word. You can take a kid and destroy their life like they tried to do with Janice when she was growing up. Said, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you. Look at you, you don't even look like us. You can easily destroy somebody with one word out of your mouth. But at the same time, you can give your life to Jesus. Right. And that same power can change your life. How did she change her life? Because she confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. How did she change her life? With the hatred and that man, that her uncle who abused her, I forgive you. Amen. By a word. You see, some of you right now, or even not even now, there's someone speaking to you. It's in your head, and he's saying you're not worth it. You'll never be loved. You'll never amount to anything. You're just too old. Just forget it. Just give up. And that's the devil. And he's changing and destroying your life by words.
It's a voice.
And when he says something to you like that, you just speak right back. Say, Satan, get behind me. We deal with things spiritually, not physically. Let me give you a quick story that happened years ago, and Janice probably doesn't remember. I do because it's stuck with me ever since this happened. So I was running out to a game, and we had some intense fellowship before the game. And I was a little upset. And I said this to her, and, you know, just running out again, you know, you learn not to say things after a while. But this was, I don't know, 15 years ago. And I said this, don't be surprised if the next time you hear from me, it's from the hospital. I was just angry. Pastors get angry. But I repented, believe me. Don't be surprised if the next time you hear from me, it's from the hospital. Now, I'm saying that you don't really care about me. I'm going to wind up dead. I'm going to be in the hospital. And that's the next time you'll hear from me. So a couple hours later, we're playing the game. And one of my teammates gets hurt really, really bad. I mean, bleeding and everything. Stop the game, call the ambulance, wrap it up, rush him to the hospital. Now, this is a church team, so the pastor has to go. Went to them to the hospital. Now we're there, you know, I mean, in surgery and everything. And the Lord reminded me, and he said, this is your fault. Like, no, it ain't. It's your fault. Now, thank God couple of stitches, fixed. No lasting injury, damage, or anything. But the Lord said, this is your fault. Guess the phone call I made. Janice, I'm in the hospital. I said it. The very next time you hear from me, it'll be from the hospital. Janice, I'm in the hospital, but it's not me. I repented really quick. Now, let me say this. When you speak from a certain place of authority, it'll affect the people around you. When I speak here, it affects this church. When a president speaks, it affects the nation because of the office that you sit in. Depending on the level that you're sitting in, it'll affect those under you. Now, if the president was home with his wife and said something, it only affects that. But when he stands in the office of the president and he says something, it affects the nation. When you're speaking on behalf of your family, be careful what you say. When you're speaking on your behalf, it'll only affect you. But when you're standing in a different place, you stand in different offices throughout the day. Be careful. When your CEO speaks on behalf of the company, it affects every single employee. As a Christian, you're affecting a spiritual world. And when the church assembles in Matthew 16, we're affecting the enemy of mankind. We're affecting the spiritual world of darkness. We either permit it or prohibit it. He says, when the church assembles in Matthew 16:8, when two of you agree on earth concerning anything, it shall be done. Why? Because you're affecting, your words are changing things around you. You become a weapon of mass destruction to the devil, not your family, not yourself. That's right. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. And guess what? He left you here to do the same thing. How about we just turn some things around this morning? Amen. Amen. Amen? How about we just turn some, stand up in your office. Stand up and just stand in your office and let's just stand up. You can stand up. Simon says, stand up. Stand up. Everybody stand. Did you notice the effect of my words? I just told you to stand and everybody stood up. Do you see how we're, I mean, it's a simple exercise, but you see how things work? Now, when you speak to the devil right now, guess what he's going to do? He's going to get behind you. He's going to listen to the words you say.
Amen.
Amen? So let's just, right? He said, let the weak say I'm strong. Let's just say some things. Everybody agree with me? Let's unleash this weapon of mass destruction. If you read James chapter 3, you'll notice how powerful the tongue is.
Hallelujah.
It can change the course of a ship. Yes. It can change the course of life.
Amen.
So let's just confess some things. How about that? How about this? Ready? Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Father, I thank you that you've made me an overcomer. More than a conqueror.
More than a conqueror.
The righteousness of God in Christ. You've made me the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. Blessed and not cursed. Right now, I say, I'm strong. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm prosperous. I'm moving forward. I will live and declare the works of the Lord. In Jesus' name, my family saved. My business prospers. My mind is alert. My body is strong. My marriage thrives. My kids thrive. Everything I put my hand to shall prosper. My home is blessed. My business is blessed. Your angels watch over me. Your spirit lives in me. I hear your voice. And I speak your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe things are changing. I believe things are changing. I said I believe things are changing. We're not going to be the same church ever again. The devil just picked up the game and took it to another level. We're taking it to a higher level. That's it. He's messing with the wrong people. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Devil, we're coming for you. Poverty, we're coming for you. Sickness, we're coming for you. Emotional distress, we're coming for you. Peace, be still. Amen, amen, amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. I pray a blessing over these. May your face shine upon them. May your goodness, your mercy overtake them. Praise the Lord forevermore. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are in this room right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit.